As a reminder, Question Medicine is on TikTok, Instagram, and your Alexa-enabled device. So if you need Question Medicine anytime, any place, anywhere, as long as you got your phone, as long as you got the app, as long as you got something nearby, you can listen to Question Medicine anytime. And with that, let's get on to the episode. Welcome back to Question Medicine, where we are asking medical questions and giving medical answers based on recent medical literature. And today's question is, what are the long-term outcomes? What are the long-term benefits of medical management versus bariatric surgery in type 2 diabetes? If your patient has type 2 diabetes and they are obese, what should you do, medical management or bariatric surgery? You ponder that question, and I'll be back in 15 seconds. Andrew Bill, sunny St. Petersburg, Florida. Let's do this thing, shall we? I have long said that I hate observational trials of bariatric surgery. I have not been shy about this one bit because they all say exactly the same thing. They all say the patients who got bariatric surgery did better. But was that because it was the bariatric surgery that made them better? Or was it because the people that we sent for bariatric surgery were healthier at baseline or met certain criteria at baseline that then made it so that they were more likely to receive benefit from getting the bariatric surgery? Was it the chicken or the egg? Was it causation or association? We don't really know unless you have good randomized controlled data. I wouldn't say we necessarily have good randomized controlled data, but now, just now, finally, we got some randomized controlled data. Yes, we have the Alliance of Randomized Trials of Medicine versus Metabolic Surgery in Type 2 Diabetes. It is a pooled analysis of four U.S. single-center randomized trials conducted between 2007 and 2013 with observational follow-up through 2022. The primary question being asked by all these trials is, what is the long-term durability of glycemic control and safety of bariatric surgery compared with medical or lifestyle management of type 2 diabetes? The primary outcome that they're looking for is a change in hemoglobin A1C from baseline to 7 years for all participants. But the data has or is reported up to 12 years. About 80% of the participants randomized to surgery underwent a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass or sleeve gastrectomy, which were similar in efficacy and slightly superior to gastric banding. When you were looking at the primary outcome here, the change in A1C was a difference of 1.4% at 7 years in favor of bariatric surgery. That is, bariatric surgery had a 1.4% lower hemoglobin A1C than those individuals who were randomized to just normal medical care. But that change decreased to right about 1% at 12 years. So the regression to the mean is starting to occur. The number of patients achieving diabetic remission also drastically favored the surgical group, but this trended towards the regression of the mean just like the A1C. At 1 year, 50% of the individuals who had bariatric surgery were able to achieve diabetic remission. But after 12 years, the very same individuals, half of the very same individuals, that same 50% had dwindled down to just 13%. Of the individuals who were still in remission from diabetes. Although it was not a primary outcome, I was going to say that I was hoping there was maybe a change in blood pressure, maybe a change in LDL, and there was a change in something else, but there was no significant difference in systolic blood pressure and no significant difference in LDL or low density lipoprotein. So really the main thing we're finding here is that there is a slightly lower A1C and there is a slightly higher rate of remission of diabetes. But what about harms? Because remember, the primary outcome is both looking at the durability, safety, and the A1C change. So what about the harms? Well, there was a harm. This paints a different story. At least in my mind it does. There was no difference in major adverse cardiovascular events, with the overall number of cardiovascular events for all individuals being pretty low. Only 2 deaths in both the surgical and medical treatment arms. But the devil is in the details, my friend, and this is where it gets a little freaky to me. Even though the cardiovascular events were identical or the cardiovascular deaths were identical, when you really look at the breakdown here, those individuals in the bariatric surgery group had higher rates of gallstones, gastric ulcers, bowel obstruction, severe hypoglycemia, coronary revascularization, myocardial infarction, and heart failure. They had much higher numbers. Now, it was not calculated out of what are those numbers compared to statistical significance, and I'm not quite sure why. I'm not quite sure why, because when you look at them, it says, it almost screams like, wow, there's only two over there, and it seems like there's 12 episodes or 12 events over there. That is probably almost certainly statistically significant, and if it's not statistically significant, it's almost certainly clinically significant. I think this trial just makes the whole bariatric surgery conversation way harder for me. I am struggling on what to do here because although I would like to believe that bariatric surgery works well to decrease rates of diabetes, it is just a lab value. Remember, diabetes is a lab value. I don't really care about a lab value. I care about the patient-oriented events. I care about the patient and what affects the patient, and a lab value really never, ever affects my patient. I've never had a patient come in and be like, hey, can you just get this number down just to get the number down? They want to get the number down because we've told them that it's bad and they will die sooner with this bad number. But when you look at the event rates, when you look at the bad things, when you look at the outcomes of heart attacks, strokes, coronary revascularization, and death, unfortunately, it does not appear that those individuals or those outcomes are improved at 12 years with bariatric surgery. Granted, the average age at time of enrollment was right around 50, so even at 12 years of follow-up, most of these patients are only 60 to 62 years old. But I was hoping for better patient-oriented outcomes. I was hoping that there would be an improvement in gastric ulcers, heart failure, myocardial infarction. I was hoping there would be improvement, and it doesn't appear that there is. And everyone who had their diabetes in remission is now starting to trend back towards having diabetes again. I think for me, the ultimate takeaway bottom line is bariatric surgery certainly has an improvement in a hemoglobin A1C and a slight improvement in diabetic remission that is most evident in the first year, but still does remain evident 12 years later or after 12 years of follow-up. The patient-oriented outcomes of major adverse cardiovascular events do not seem to be improved after 12 years of follow-up and may require longer follow-up if they even exist at all. If you like this podcast, then please give it a review. But I know, I'm just like you. I don't give every podcast a review. So let's just be honest. If you like the podcast, just share it with a friend so we can all be a little bit better, one question at a time. And with that, I will end this podcast as I've ended every single one before it. Wait for the music. Until next time, Keith Quest in Questioning.